This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. When you've seen hell and survived it, do you just get on with your life, or do you feel impelled to tell others what hell looked like, what it felt like, and what it burned from our living world?
We are not only those who survived. We are those who can say, like Jeremiah, I have been there. I have seen it. And the witness has an authority that no one else has, to say this is what happened. When I ask myself, what do all my books have in common? There's one word, and the word is really memory.
For almost 50 years, Elie Wiesel has used his memory to try to create a sense of conscience in this world. He's the author of more than 40 books, an incessant speaker, a spokesperson for human rights, and, of course, a Nobel Peace Prize winner. The life and memory of Elie Wiesel is the subject of a new documentary that will premiere next week on PBS. It's called Elie Wiesel, First Person Singular. And Elie Wiesel joins us now from the studios of the CBC in Paris. Mr. Wiesel, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
I was not familiar with the story until I saw this film. And I'm wondering if you can recreate it a bit for us about your family and so many other families in the town of Sieget the night before your family was removed.
It was the last night in my town, the last night in my home. And we knew already we would be the last Jews leaving that town. So the whole family actually began hiding things. Everybody had something to hide. I dig up a hole under the tree and hid a watch, a golden watch, which I received from my bar mitzvah, from my grandfather. My little sister hid her toys and so forth. And it was very strange. We were all digging, hoping to come back one day and find it. Of course, I was the only one then who came back. My two sisters survived. One of them did come back. But only I began digging. And in fact, I did find a watch and put it back.
When was this?
I came back 20 years after I left it in 1964.
You found the watch?
I did find the watch. It was the only object that linked me to my past. And somehow I felt I cannot take it away. Something of me, from my family, should remain there.
So you buried the watch?
I did bury the watch. Maybe one day, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, somebody will, by chance, find the watch. And that watch will remind that person that once upon a time there were many Jews in that town.
Could you tell us about what we call the liberation of Auschwitz and that moment? And I guess as I see the account in this film and certainly have read about it over the years, it liberation doesn't seem exactly the word for the people who were there.
We call the evacuation from Auschwitz because from there we left still as prisoners and we went to the Buchenwald. And, oh, that day will remain with me as well. That hour, that moment we were there, we were supposed to be the last inmates to leave. Mm-hmm. And there was an alert. We had to go back to the blocks. And I could have been, let's say, if I had been 20 or 30 inmates ahead of me, I would have been taken beyond the gate, outside, and who knows. Well, I don't know what would have happened. We were there in the blocks. I was young, timid.
You were a teenager then?
I was anyway, yes, I was 16. Mm-hmm. I didn't really think much. Since my father died, I was not there. And then all of a sudden we heard some shots. There was a resistance in the camp. I didn't even know about it. Mm-hmm. Buchenwald was liberated by itself. The resistance movement headed by the communists, but with the participation of all inmates from all over Europe. And a few hours later, maybe two or three hours later, the Americans came. Mm-hmm. And the American soldiers, I will never forget the way they looked at us. They were the first free persons to look into hell. And they saw us. And they cried. And they cursed. They couldn't take it. Later I found out what they were thinking. I met some of the liberators. They simply couldn't accept the fact that people could do that to other people. So because of that, I remained grateful to the American Army. Mm-hmm. Many, many years later, I was invited to come and give a lecture at West Point, and I accepted only for one reason, to come and say thank you to the American Army. And then something very moving happened. The commandant said, you know, Professor Wiesel, we decided to give you a present. We shall give you a parade. And 4,500 cadets marched in my honor. And I wanted to cry, really. I came to thank them, and here they were to honor me and thank me.
When you were able to stand up, feeling for the first time in years that you might have a chance to be a free and whole person, you and other survivors there in the children's barracks said Kaddish.
Yeah. There were Russian prisoners of war in Buchenwald. And the American army came in. They actually got some jeeps, and they went to Weimar, which was nearby, to the city of town of Goethe. And they were next to Buchenwald, and they went and became Avengers. But all we could do really is to say a prayer for the dead, the Kaddish. But that Kaddish was very special too. Mm. It was an affirmation of life, because Kaddish is an affirmation of faith. But more than that, it was also a protest. The first protest that I felt welling up in me.
Protest how? I'm trying to recall the words. Yiskadal, Yiskadash.
Yiskadal, Yiskadash, Meraba, be great, be magnified and celebrated the holy name. There is no death in that prayer.
Yeah.
Only sanctification of God's name.
Sanctification of God's name. How was this a protest, Mr. Wiesel?
To say, look, world. You don't want us to have faith, we shall have faith. Mm-hmm. You don't want us to believe, but we shall believe. And even God, maybe you have abandoned us, but we did not abandon you.
I'm sure people have pointed out over the years that how can you believe in God in that situation?
When I was asked this question years and years and years ago, I simply asked, how can you believe in man? I have seen what human beings are capable of. Why should I believe in them? How can you believe in education when we found out that the commandants of the Einsatzgruppen, which were the murder squads, most of them had college degrees and some of them had PhDs? How can you believe in culture? After all, Germany was the center of culture in Europe. Bach and Beethoven, Schiller. And yet, look what happened there. So what is the alternative? To give up on everybody? You can't. Oh, I have problems with God. I wrote a lot about my problems with God, my crises, and my rebellion even. But I was saved by my passion for study throughout my life. There wasn't a day I didn't study. And this is, I mean, study of the Talmud and the commentaries and so forth. But also, I simply felt it is impossible. I cannot divorce God. So from inside faith, I questioned God. And furthermore, my father had faith, my grandfather had faith, my grandmother, my ancestors, like we go back to Rashi, the great commentator of all commentators. And what right do I have to be the last one and to break the chain?
Mr. Wiesel, every now and then we get reminded of the fact that the generation of people who have a conscious memory of that crime that so blighted the last century, the number of people who remember that firsthand is dwindling. Mm-hmm. And so we build museums, and there are your books, and there are literary efforts and cinematic efforts. In the end, can anything replace that personal sense of witness?
No, of course not. What we have to say, nobody else can say it. They may try, and they should try, as honestly as they can. A witness has a story to tell that only he or she can tell. At the same time, it's true what you just said. After the war, the survivors used to meet at weddings. Afterwards, at the birth of their children, then at the weddings of their children. Now they meet at funerals. We are a kind of endangered species. Mm-hmm. At least there isn't a day without some survivor dying somewhere under the sun. And I know that soon there will be the last.
Mr. Wiesel, thank you very much. It's been nice talking to you again.
Thank you.
Elie Wiesel, who is the subject of a new PBS film premiering next week. Elie Wiesel, first person singular, speaking with us from Paris.